The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. The Jews quarreled among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Jesus said to them, "Amen, amen, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life within you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me, and I have life because of the Father, so also the one who feeds on me will have life because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Unlike your ancestors who ate and still died, whoever eats this bread will live forever." These things he said while teaching in the synagogue in Capernaum. The Gospel of the Lord. Yeah, it's a great gospel for us this Easter season. It's certainly a great gospel for us celebrating First Holy Communion. I mean, any passage from the sixth chapter of the Gospel of John is going to be a Eucharist-oriented passage, but this one is Jesus hitting the climax of that speech, as it were, of that instruction that he gives teaching in the synagogue in Capernaum. So it's really powerful. I'm thankful for Watson that he chose this day so that we can have an extended reflection on the Eucharist. But I think we have to put it also in context of what Jesus has been doing in this section of John's gospel. We see that he's fed the multitude. When he feeds the 5,000 people with five loaves of bread and two fish, it's more than a sense. Jesus tells us the people were coming to him to be fed with regular food, and they were happy to be full, and that was it. But Jesus performed the feeding miracle as a sign that pointed on to this reality in his gospel. What Jesus wanted to do was not just feed the people with bread and with fish. He wanted to feed them with his own life. And so he gives us his own life, and he gives us his own life in a very special way in the Eucharist. But this is part of a big plan of God. We know that there are definitions around these things. We know that the Eucharist is the source and summit of Christian life. That's very important. It's very important for us to hold on to that. We know that the Eucharist is the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus. We know that the Eucharist is Jesus himself. But we sometimes lose track of why Jesus gives us his own life to eat and drink, to consume. And here, I think, in this particular part of John's gospel, we get a good sense of what that's all about. Jesus says that he gives his flesh for the life of the world. And we know that God creates everything that exists out of love, that he loves his good creation, and that he himself is troubled by the fact that creation is all out of sorts. And what he does is he sends his own beloved Son, his only begotten Son, to get creation back in order. And not only that, as though it were that simple, right? We see Jesus and believe in him, we hear it in the Gospel of John. We're to see him and believe in him, and that is going to put the world to rights. The answer is yes, of course, that will put the world to rights, but that we have to participate in it so that we are put to rights, and then we go out and restore creation. We have to be restored, rejuvenated, and then we have to go out and love the world back to life. We have to bring God's love with us wherever we go, as members of Jesus' body. So here we have it. Jesus draws to the climax of it. How are we going to share his life? We're going to share his life by feeding on him. And these words are quite physical. We might want to spiritualize them and say, okay, well, we're going to profit by Jesus' death and resurrection. That's what it means to feed on him. But just in case there was any doubt about it, we hear in the gospel passage that unless we feed on him, unless, and the Greek word gives us a sense of like how, you know, an animal kind of munches, you know, that's the first time I've done that probably. That's that's kind of embarrassing, do you know, but just how an animal munches or chews, you see a cow or what. This is the kind of raw physical word that St. John gives us here, that Jesus gives us here, and St. John gives us here in understanding what we are to do with the bread of life. So we have to eat and drink Jesus, and he gives us himself to eat and drink in the Eucharist. And then in the Eucharist again, right, we have to say it's not a simple act of magic, as though by eating Jesus's body and blood, then we become Jesus' body and blood. We have to eat with faith. We have to eat with allegiance. We have to eat entrusting ourselves to Jesus. And if we do so, then we do become his body. And we do become his blood. And then we are made just like Jesus to bring God's love to life in the world. That's the whole point. That's the whole point. So as we prepare ourselves to celebrate this Eucharistic feast where the love of God is made flesh for us, we have to be praying about how God wants us to make his love flesh today. How can I not only receive your love, but also bring your love to life? Show me how I'm supposed to love the people around me. And then as we start praying that way, we realize, wow, this is really difficult. It's going to be really difficult to keep loving people and to not pull back. Because what happens, whether or not people intend to do it, they hurt us and they put up barriers to our loving them. And when we love them, they don't much appreciate it. That's all fine. We have to love them anyway. That's what God did for us, and that's what God does for us. And that's what we have to do for his world. And so we realize just how difficult this challenge is. But then we realize we have what we need to do it, because Jesus gives himself to us in the bread of life, in the Eucharist, so that we can be sustained in that very task.